We're on chapter two.
We were just talking about, I think Neil's fart cleaned out the entire bachelor party. Neil's fart.
It destroyed an entire nation.
I mean, if you could pick one person in that household that would be the prime suspect to spread that everywhere, it's either Daniel Huntley or Neil.
Or Neil.
And we're talking fluid exchanges.
Maybe Corey the last night.
Dude, I didn't see Corey the last night. We were downstairs, I think, watching football or something Saturday. Yeah. We were
watching Vaughn or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, we switched over to Theo Vaughn after the game. But we were watching the rest of the Alabama or whatever game. Yeah, whatever game it was.
State just getting massacred by Alabama. But yeah, dude, I dodged whatever the hell you guys got that knocked everybody out. I get home, and my wife and kid have a stomach bug. This was on, we got home Sunday night, Monday morning. Felt fine.
Late Sunday.
I felt fine all week, dude. I was just kind of like, ha-ha, like, I've got the I got the immune system that nobody else has. And, dude, fucking Friday morning, my wife goes in at 6, so I have to take care of the kid, get him to school, and then get to work. About 7:30 or 8 o'clock, I wake up. My stomach's just kind of rumbling a little bit. And I'm thinking, I had 3 or 4 beers last night. Maybe it's one of those, like, 2-beer hangover type deals.
Maybe it was my coffee.
Maybe. It could have been anything. So, like, I put, like, jogging pants on to go to work because my manager was out that day. And I was like, nobody will even know because there's hardly anybody in the office. So I go sit in my desk, dude, and I'm just uncomfortable all morning. And I'm like, dude, I'm about to fucking blow in my pants right now with shit. And then, like, I have the ability to work from home if, like, it's an urgency. So, like, I was thinking, like, okay, I'll just muscle it out to, like, 11 o'clock, and I'll just take my lunch break then and go home.
And never come back.
Yeah, and it just I'll just call it a weekend. I'll just log in when I get home. So, dude, like, I start making my way home, and, like, immediately I start thinking of the story that Neil said where he was, like, waiting in line, and, like, he couldn't hold his shit in anymore. And he just literally shit himself while he's driving. And I'm like, dude, this is going to freaking happen to me, dude. Like, here I am thinking, like, how is that even possible? It's like I'm going down the highway, and, of course, there's traffic. And I'm like, this is lunch hour. And I'm like, I got to get home, got to get home, got to get home. I make it home safely. Everything happens in the toilet. And I'm like, okay, it's good. It's good. I'm good. So, like, I log back in, ready to start working the day, dude. And it just will not go away. Like, I'm just like, God, man. Stomach is jacked. Dude, about an hour and a half later, I start getting the chills. Like, this isn't good. I tell my whoever's still in charge of me at this point, so my manager's not there. I'm like, hey, dude, I'm cashing out. Like, I'm done. I literally, from like 2 o'clock till probably 8:30 that night, sitting on the toilet, getting off the toilet, turning around and throwing up. Like, that's it.
Good Lord.
My wife had like a mariachi gig, like a band gig, like after work. So I had to watch the kid from like 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock. So she didn't come home after work was over. I sent her a text at like 5. And I'm like, are you sure you can't come home? Cause like, I'm really, really rough.
Not good.
I'm the only one. Like, I'm the only one who can do this. And I'm literally like, I'm watching my kid in the living room, and I'm thinking, if I die right now, can he survive 3 more hours until my wife gets home? Because I do not feel good, like, while I'm laying on the couch. But, man, it only lasted 24 hours, and here I am, talking football.
Here I am. Here we are. Talking football, yeah. Nice.
And you're like laying on the floor in the bathroom, and you're like, you're the man of the house now.
Take it over. Here's the safe combination.
You're way back home from work. You're like sitting at a red light. This never would have happened if Neil never told that story.
He put it in the universe.
Put it in the universe. Oh, dude.
Now, I haven't come close to shitting my pants, but yeah, I've just had this bad cough and just dry feeling in my throat. Like I'm not getting enough water or something like that, but I'm like, you saw me, PJ. I was taking in fluids. That's why I had to pee so much.
Bro, it was like driving a grandmother across the country. My grandmother squeezed out 7 or 8 kids.
Whenever you get a chance, can we pull over? I got to go pee.
Well,
like, this is that homeless guy. Made me pay him. I don't want to stop here.
Yeah. Well, speaking of shit in their pants, man, there's a lot of teams in the NFL right now that are.
Yeah, good segue.
Yeah, doing that. Oh,
man.
We got
a. Hey, we've been off on a break. We've had a little bit of a hiatus.
A lot of shit's changed, man.
Yeah, a lot of shit's changed. NFL, man. A lot of bed shitters.
We got two bed shitters going up against each other this week, and the Bucks and the Rams.
Whoa.
I thought you were going to say my fantasy team. No, I was like, who am I playing this week?
Who am I playing this week? I don't remember. Oh,
I'm pretty much a bye week at this point.
Let me play you this week.
You could be so lucky.
Mark.
Yeah, dude. I guess it's been 2 weeks. Who's who's surprising and who's dwindling now?
In the NFL or in the fantasy leagues?
Bengals, NFL.
NFL, dude. Joe Burrow. What happened? Is it Ja'Marr Chase?
It's Ja'Marr Chase, dude. He's always been Ja'Marr
offensive Chase. Line. Yeah, yeah. His offensive line, like. He can just throw it up there and on a wing and a prayer, and Ja'Marr Chase is going to snatch it. So, I don't know.
My thing is, like, you know, some quarterbacks just have their kryptonite. And unfortunately, Joe Burrow's kryptonite is the Cleveland Browns. He's got to face them twice. I don't think he's ever beat them since being in the NFL.
Nope.
So, you know, they got Over. His number. Yeah. They got his number.
Colts, they're going with was it Cody Bellinger? Is that his name? Old Texas
Sam Ellinger.
There you go.
Sam Ellinger.
Ellinger.
Yeah, I think it's Ellinger. I think it's pronounced Ellinger, but it could be wrong. We'll find out because he'll be on TV and they'll say his name.
Wait for Joe Buck to correct this.
Dude, there's a good chance that their head coach is getting fired.
I can't believe he's still there.
Because that's more. Yeah, Frank Wright. That's more than just Matt Ryan sucking. Going wrong with that team.
You've had what? Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan. That's almost as bad as Carolina coaching. Like quarterback carousel that they got going on.
That's worse, man. That's three quarterbacks that have actually won at some point in their career.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, these guys are, you know, everybody part on Carson Wentz, but I think, you know, given the right situation and coaching staff and everything, he can be a, you know, even better than a Kirk Cousins. I was going to say a Kirk Cousins level quarterback, but better than Kirk Cousins because he doesn't choke. He just, you know, he needs the right coaching and staff around him like he had at the Eagles when he had that good run. And obviously Frank Wright's not the quarterback whisperer that everybody said he was. Yeah.
Lies.
Yet they're still 3-4-1. They're second in their division. That's still crazy.
Well, that's how crappy. Bad this up. Yeah.
The AFC South is.
Dude,
speaking of AFC South, yeah. Go ahead, PJ.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I was going to say, like, there's a few divisions. I mean, that used to just be the NFC East. We were just kind of like, yeah. Oh, they're going to get a team in with a losing record, and everybody made a big deal about it. But There's a few divisions like that now.
It's going to be this NFC South. Atlanta Falcons first place at 4-4. That is piss poor pathetic.
Coach.
Oh, wow.
To the end of that game.
Let me take off my helmet real quick.
Watch your language.
I don't think it should have been a 15-yard penalty. That's a little excessive.
If you want to be technical about it, he wasn't on the field anymore.
He wasn't even on the field, yeah.
He was out of bounds in front of the end zone. So, I mean, like, he's essentially taking your helmet off on the sidelines. So,
I guess he was still deemed an active player, though, right?
The play's over, yeah. He already scored.
It was even more bizarre than I thought.
Like, yeah. So then it backed them up, and then Pinheiro misses it. But then they get another shot, like they get a gift by Mariota, march it all the way down the field. Rather than running the ball, they ran the ball, but rather than aggressively trying to get another first down, they run the ball three times, get stuffed three times, and then he shanks it, a 33-yarder. And yeah. I love the still of him where he's like, he's just holding his face, man. He's like, fuck.
Because, dude, if he was on any other team, he would have been fired. He might be fired.
Never going to hear the end of this.
Yeah. If you're a kicker, that's a death sentence.
We drafted Harrison Buckner. We drafted what? Him. Yes. I don't know. And then we had, at the time, we had Graham Gano. We drafted Harrison Buckner and we let him go. He went to the Chiefs. Man. So.
Yeah. Stupid. I hate that.
Just yep. Stupid.
He could have been Justin Tucker.
Dude, it was driving me crazy. I'm not even a Carolina fan. But seeing DJ Moore laughing on the sidelines after it happened.
Yeah.
That really grinded my gears.
Yeah. I mean, dude, we're like Cleveland, we lost 26-24. Giants, 19-16. Got kind of outlasted by the New Orleans. Oh, no, we beat the New Orleans Saints. Lost to Arizona, lost to San Fran, lost to L.A. Rams, beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and then lose. Like, we could easily be 4-4.
Man, it's that coin flip games, man. They're real. The luck.
Any given Sunday.
It's a luck stat. Everybody knows about that. It's a one-score game record.
How crazy is this? This is how crazy NFL is that a guy that could barely get on the field in college went to the the XFL or Canadian League or one of those? I think it was XFL.
Yeah.
And he's
a starting quarterback.
Yeah, a far better quarterback than two like one overall guys like Baker Mayfield, yeah. he was drafted one overall, I think, and then
Sam Darnold was top three.
Yeah, I think he was number two overall.
Oh, we're talking about Tom Brady.
Yeah, he's better than him too.
Yeah, right now he is.
Yeah, this year, don't matter what you did in the past. We're talking about this year,
dude. Please tell me y'all have watched that TikTok and like Twitter feed of Giselle being an actual witch.
Oh, no.
It is priceless, dude. Like, it's talking about how, like, good Brady was up until Giselle left him. And now, like, he is just aging just rapidly. Like, they just suck and can't win. Yeah, dude. So, like, that's when I sent y'all that gif of, like, The Last Crusade where he's like, he chose poorly.
Poorly.
Like, everybody's like, what is happening to me?
Is it me?
But yeah, dude, it's hilarious, dude. Like, the internet is just endless entertainment.
Undefeated. Dude, yeah. Speaking of pretty funny. What about Miles' Super Bowl pick, the Las Vegas Raiders?
They're gonna be ashamed of themselves.
They're probably one of the biggest disappointments.
They might be picking first.
National Football League.
Yeah, they got Lamb blasted. I don't think they'll be picking first. The Bears and some other teams are really making
probably
a case for
Houston. Probably Houston will pick first.
What's the Raiders?
Yeah, well. Right now?
Raiders are 2-5.
2-5?
Yeah, Raiders are 2-5. Same record as Carolina.
Yeah. The only worst is Detroit and the Bears and Houston, right?
Dude, is the Lions coach safe if he's still
The Bears there? Are 3-5.
Wow. 3-5. I think the Lions coach is safe year, but if this happens again next year, he's gone.
Yeah, one more year.
I bet you. Aaron Glenn's probably not gonna survive. He's gonna the get
defensive,
fired.
Yeah, defensive yeah. coordinator. There's a good chance. I mean, it's not like they got a star-studded cast. You know, if they had gone out, or let's just hypothetical. Offseason, they go out and they get spend some capital on some serious free agent players for their defense, and this defense turns around and they can't even reach middle of the pack if they're bottom 10 or even bottom, more likely bottom 5, he's gone. Yeah. I don't think anybody's getting fired this year, though. It's an understanding that, you know, they stripped it all down last year and slowly building it back up.
I mean, they're competing. They're literally in every single game if you look at their schedule, except maybe a couple. They went toe to toe with the best team in the league right now, one of the best teams in the league, 38-35 with Philly.
Oh, Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, their offense is great. If they had a half-ass defense, they'd be probably 4 wins by now.
They're throwing up some numbers now. 35, 27, 24, 40, 45. Laid an egg against New England. Laid an egg against Dallas.
Do they keep riding with Goff, or is Goff going to have to go somewhere? Is he going to be the next Colts quarterback?
I guarantee you they draft a quarterback to replace him and give Goff one more year.
Yeah, I don't know if they want to pay him big bucks, and I think he's going to be kind of right there waiting for it.
Is Goff on his last year of his contract? Or
he's
what?
Got 2 more years. LA gave him a big contract, right?
I believe so.
They paid his ass well and then sent him on to Detroit after that comment about McVay.
Don't talk about McVay's girlfriend, man.
Yeah. It wasn't that Goff sucked. It was that he made a comment about McVay's girlfriend. It was like, well, you got to go.
I can't watch film with you anymore. You got to get out of here.
But, yeah, man, what's some teams that are like, surprisingly on the up and up, that we're talking about all these dumpster fire hitting rock bottom teams. What's some teams?
I'll give you a team that
moves?
Didn't start out great, but I think are just rapidly getting better is San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, yeah.
Ever since they got McCaffrey, dude. I think if I could choose a mid-season Super Bowl favorite or at least a run to the Super Bowl, I think it'd be San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody is talking about Minnesota, but they're 6-1.
It's Cousins, man.
They're sneakily good. They're 6-1, the second seed in the NFC. And right behind them in the third seed is Seattle. Who would have thought about Seattle?
That's crazy.
Geno Smith. He ain't writing nobody back.
Dude, did y'all see that?
Yeah.
That meme where they said the Dolphins want to trade Russell Wilson for Geno.
yeah, the Broncos, dude. That's hilarious.
Yeah, Broncos. I mean.
Man, and then I'm looking at the playoff picture right now. Yeah, Philly in the NFC. You have Philly, Minnesota, Seattle, and Atlanta are your leaders. Wild card is Dallas, New York, and San Fran. So three NFC East teams would be in if the playoffs started right now.
Dude, 2 years ago, that's crazy. That was a division where a losing record made the playoffs.
Exactly.
So crazy.
Like
how
7-9. 7-9 would have got you in.
Yeah. Crazy how the NFL changed.
It's going to get some guys in this year, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, if you look at those three wild card spots, though, they're pretty solidified in there. It's really just going to be the winner of the NFC South that's probably going to be the one with the losing record
going in. That's wild, man.
But dude, I feel like the NFC is way more stacked than the AFC, right? Feels that way.
The NFC is making more improvements.
Yeah.
The AFC is pretty much how it's set right now. Is I don't think it's going to change from that. Where you're going to have the Ravens and the Browns and the Chiefs and the Bills. Yeah. Who am I? And then
right now,
Right
now, what the AFC playoff picture looks like is Buffalo, Tennessee, Kansas City, in Baltimore. Your three wild cards are New York Jets, Miami, and the LA Chargers. So you have three AFC East teams, the Buffalo Bills, the New York Jets, and the Miami Dolphins in right now. If the
That's wild. I think the Browns are going to squeak one of those wild cards.
They got a lot of ground to cover. They're 3-5 now. They got to make up some ground. Let's look at their schedule.
I think they can do it. They got Steelers, right?
They got a bye week this week. Remaining after the bye week, they got Miami. They got Buffalo, Tampa, or Houston, Cincy again, Baltimore, New Orleans, Washington, and Pittsburgh last. So
it's not an easy schedule.
That's not a especially that front after the bye.
If they can beat more, and they're gonna lose that Bills game, and then they're gonna So if they can beat Baltimore, I feel like the rest of those
3-5. Let's say they're 3-5. Let's say they lose Miami and Buffalo. Now they're 3-7. Then they roll off two more wins against Tampa Bay and Houston. That's what?
Running out of games.
5-7.
Yeah.
5-7. Then they got Cincinnati. Maybe that's a win. 6-7, Baltimore. That could be a potential win, let's say. All right, 7-7 going in their last three games. If they're 7-7 going in their last three games against New Orleans, Washington, and Pittsburgh,
they could be.
Yeah, they got a good shot of making the playoffs.
I think they can beat Miami.
I don't think Miami is as good as people are making them out to be. I still don't.
Even with Bradley, even with them adding Bradley.
Yeah,
that's a big addition.
Tua is more the issue than Bradley.
Yeah.
I like Bradley Chubb. Both the Chubbs went into the draft at the same time, and I was like, I was thinking the Browns were going to chub it up big, and they didn't take Bradley with the very next pick. I was like, get Chubb and Chubb. And Broncos went and got it from them. Because, Browns were stacking up some serious defensive players at the time. But, Bradley's a really good what Miami does and what they need as far as the middle of the field game goes, and stopping that, containing that run and all that good stuff. But
I don't know that Raheem is staying healthy for more than like 3 or 4 weeks. So it's kind of, is he going to keep going the way
he's back?
Raheem Mostert? First of all, their run game hasn't been that impressive. But they went out and got Jeff Wilson. Understandably so, because McDaniels is or McDaniel. Is it McDaniels? McDaniel.
Singular.
Yeah, okay. Well, McDaniel.
The better McDaniel, because Josh ain't getting it done. Yeah. Because Josh ain't getting it done over there in Las Vegas.
Yeah. But Wilson's probably going to take over that game situation for him, but that doesn't matter either way. But it's all about Waddle and Hill. He'll run in 50 and jogging back 20 for those passes, and Waddle getting those yak attacks.
Hill, man, he's on pace for 2,000 yards.
You got two top five receivers on the same team. Yeah. Not top 10, top five.
And how are they not? How do they not have more wins? I mean, I know Tua's missed.
Two or three games, yeah.
They've played three quarterbacks, right, so far?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's unreal, man.
That team goes as Tua goes. Tua's going off, actually, if you look at them. Like,
the last couple of weeks, or at least last week,
yeah.
Yeah, he's going off, but I think they still lost, right?
I thought they won this past week. Did they lose?
They beat the Lions, they beat Pittsburgh, they lost to Minnesota.
Okay, lost to Minnesota. So there you go.
Their three losses are Cincinnati, the Jets, in Minnesota.
And if the Steelers players could get a hold of the ball with their hands, they had so many potential interceptions off of Tua in that game. But their defensive guys, they're ball hawks, but they got hands of stone. So they didn't capitalize on all the chances.
Dude, do y'all think Tomlin wants to stick around Pittsburgh after this year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's just kind of a Steeler at heart.
Yeah, he's going to keep going until he becomes the most winningest coach, or at least he plans to.
Other than Belichick and maybe
the Ravens.
Pete Carroll. Hey, yeah, Jim Harbaugh. Like, they're the longest tenured coaches in their teams.
But dude, like, I don't see a quick fix for Pittsburgh. Like, they just, I don't know. Like, what is their strength right now?
They need to fix that running game. Not the fact that Najee is not. So, and I guess that starts with offensive line. So,
yeah,
that run game is good.
Yeah, that's it. They're one offensive line away from having a solid team. I know people are giving Kenny Pickett shit for sucking, but he didn't practice all off season, so they didn't even give him second team reps, I don't think, in the off season. So this kid's having to pick up the pieces and play some pretty damn tough teams like the Miami Dolphins and shit, you know?
He didn't ask for those small hands. Like, he was born with them.
He didn't ask for those small hands. Somehow those small hands are going to get a little bit bigger next year.
He's in a
hand
enlarged.
These gloves. These gloves give me big hands.
I like the dude. He's got moxie.
He's got grit.
He's got the grit. When he was like getting in a fight with his very first game, he started. And one of the, like a linebacker or somebody stomped on him, and he got straight up and was like going to not put up with that shit and get it in their face. And it's like,
okay, kid.
I was like, pick it, go sit down, man. That's where you die.
It was literally like when you go to prison, pick a fight with the biggest person in the room.
Right? Just that's exactly what
show on. You're not scared.
But hey, guys, I'm not scared of the NFT games. What who do we pick? Let's give the rundown.
Are we cueing any music? We don't get a lead into the.
And we're going at it bare bones.
We're going at it raw dog in it.
Raw dog and bare bones.
With the first pick in the NFT draft, the dude selected. We already drafted, right?
Yeah. So we changed things up to where we slow draft on our phones so that we can spend more time, and instead of picking players, we can list who we drafted and I guess kind of grade ourselves on it. Like
probably just rattle off the teams one at a time.
Well, I'm just gonna rattle them off. I'm gonna rattle off all of dude's players. So dude picked Travis Kelce. He's got Aaron Jones, Jalen Hurts, and his last pick was who again? I didn't write it down.
I needed a wide receiver, right?
Yeah, you needed a wide receiver.
I picked Cooper
Kupp. Yeah, that's right. Cup.
Cooper Kupp. You made me remember this stuff, man. I don't know, is he? He has some stars by his name. I just went with it.
For sure.
Hey, I put it on there. It's in there now.
Wait, no. It wasn't Cup.
watching pull up a surprise DK Metcalf. Psych, yeah. I wasn't injured.
Randall Moore.
All those people that played Marquise Goodwin. I was not injured.
So second place last week was Mark. Mark picked Dallas Goedert. Josh, father of eight, Jacobs. Then he picked Josh Allen, so two Joshes. And then, of course, he picked Diggs for his wide
just
receiver.
Just Josh him.
Josh.
And then I took in the third place, and I took King Henry, Justin Jefferson, Zach Ertz, and Lamar Jackson. And then Donnie, bringing up the rear, took Austin Eckler, Pat Mahomes,
feel pretty good
Mr.
about
Penguin,
that.
Mr. Penguin Man Waddle, and Isaiah Likely, which I picked up in my other league for like $7. I was shocked. My last $7 of I had a fob. I put the last $7 on Likely, and I got it. So
is Andrews out?
No, he's playing injured, but even with Andrews in there, I think Likely shown he needs to be used over say like Duvernay or whoever.
Go a two tight end set or something like that, and just use them up, man.
They really seeing need to, man. How coach has navigated the swindling of his first round pick. I greatly overestimated how stupid some of the people in our league are.
Right.
I should have traded away my first round pick earlier. If I knew I could get it back with a tight end.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
I basically swapped Andrews and got Tyreek Hill. Because I sent my first round pick for her. Ty Hill, which was worth it because he's going off. And now I got it back, baby.
Back. So like the voting to veto trades, I've never liked it because everybody has their individual, like, well, I don't want this team to get better. I don't want this to happen. But in this particular league, I feel like some people need protection. They need a governance.
Right.
If you need oversight. Yeah, oversight. People don't read their trades, and they complain about them after the fact. And then, like, we have to go through this whole, like, nonsense that we've gone through the last 2 weeks of these trades. I'm like, dude, I think this is how people lose their freedom. This is how freedom is lost. You abuse it. That's what our league is becoming.
With a roaring
It was
applause.
My greatest fear.
That's so true.
This up. No, exactly what happened. Nobody read their trades. Dipshits would sneak in these first round picks and steal them from everybody and all this kind of garbage. And sure enough, none of y'all reading the trades. And so now I got to waste my precious time next year. And when y'all send a trade, be like, do you really want this? Did you really want this? Do you
24-hour buyer remorse is going to have to be the case.
Do you understand that you're giving up your first-round pick? Oh, I didn't read that. Be next year.
So we're going to do that next year?
I don't know. I don't think we need to. I think people have learned their lessons, but I'm not the commish.
I mean, I learned my lesson because I got my pick back, but yeah. My thing is, I didn't read the first trade that it happened to me, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to take it. I laughed it off and I did some work.
Yeah.
I did some work, put in the work, and I built my way back up to prominence.
I am not defending my brother's outburst as far as being against the vote, but for Neil to have the gall to ask for you to cancel it, that was beyond, like, okay, dude, I will do whatever I can to make sure that that doesn't happen. After he was like, okay, yeah, I'll take Tinkies because he didn't want it. But, like, so much wrong.
The only
reason to give up, yeah.
The only reason let it go to a vote instead of just saying, no, man, that's karma, bitch. Live with it. Is I was so sick of everybody not. This happened to like four people in the league, right? And I was just like, all right.
Yeah. Happened to who else? Yeah.
It apparently happened to Gabe.
Dude, he literally texted me right after. He goes, dude, I did not see the second round pick when he accepted Watson. Because y'all know how Charlie's trades look. Like, whenever you see him, you're like, dude, this guy's not serious. And somehow, I guess, he didn't see the second round pick.
But he didn't say that to me at all. But, like, otherwise, I would have – I was, like, strike three. I was waiting for strike three. But we got to strike four. And then strike four was like, all right, guys, we're going to people's court over this. Y'all sit there and bitch for 2 days so that y'all will start reading your – GD trades.
God, man.
And like, I knew what end up with is, like, you can't let him skate. You can't let Neil skate off with it because he's already done that to the coach and stuff. And I was just like, you know, because it just wouldn't be fair. But no. I just wanted everybody.
And we're all about fairness
in their
here.
Head. Like,
we're all about fairness. Yeah. And then I had to give up Derrick Henry to get my pick back. I got Aaron Jones.
That was the thing. Like, if he just took the trade and he's like, okay, well, I have my extra first and I'm going to hoard it. I'm okay. Like, you know, Neil, I mean, he got it. But for him to like trade the first back for you to give up Derrick Henry, I was like, he completely took advantage of the situation. Was the thing. So for him to ask for the trade back.
Slapping himself to the bank. And I was just like, that's why that was the big thing. Like earlier in the year when we were giving you such gruff of giving up Henry, it's because you already gave up Chubb. Like if you had Chubb and you gave up Henry, that's one thing. But to give up two clearly like top five running backs.
Top three running backs, like literally top three running backs.
Yeah, it was just like, dude, it's not worth it. I just learned to live without my round pick. And you clearly got it back. You got it back from heaven.
And I think your team's better now, or as good as it was before you gave up the first round pick.
Yeah, I'd feel maybe better about my team if I had one of those two running backs.
One of the,
true.
I got three, and hopefully Swift can stay healthy.
Yeah. My only thing was Swift.
And Ramondre, if Ramondre wasn't as good as he is now, it would definitely be harder to live with it, but he's been.
The fuck is Ramondre?
Ramondre Stevenson?
Oh, yeah. Hey, are you throwing an L in there?
Ramondre? Oh, maybe.
Ramondre?
Ramondre? But I don't know. That's how the chips may fall.
Yeah.
And like, Gabe's hoarding those picks, man. I've been trying to send him offer after offer. He's not going to give up this. Yeah.
He's not worried about this year at all. I think he might be interested in this year now that he's in the top four, but his team's not built to last in there.
Yeah.
He's fixing to start dropping, man.
Well, if you look at his team, if you look at his team right now, who is he going to keep? He was talking about keeping Najee as his keeper. Like, definitely keep Justin Jefferson, but he's going to have to drop Waddle.
Yeah, he can't keep both.
Yeah,
I would keep Justin Jefferson over Waddle.
Yeah. Running backs, but he has any running backs worth. He doesn't have any running backs.
No, he doesn't have a single running back that he should keep, but.
Yeah, and he doesn't really have a quarterback.
No. That's so his biggest Achilles.
Two good receivers and three first round draft picks.
Yeah. If he's thinking Deontay Foreman's going to carry him to the promised land, he's sorely mistaken.
Yeah.
We're talking about your brother. I'm telling
the longevity of his team.
He needs to start moving some pieces already. The thing is, I don't know if he's like thinking, I just need to sneak into the playoffs, maybe luckily stumble upon a playoff run. But I agree. Look at his team. It's not sustained for success. Yeah. Not right now.
No, not
right now. I've been trying to snipe one of his picks.
That's the thing, though. Yeah. That's the thing, though. He's not going to be able to move any of those pieces other than a guy that I want to move without giving up some of those picks. So he's pretty much committed to being too good next year. Which next year, I'm just going to.
At this point?
Yeah. Next year, unless he makes some bonehead decisions in the draft, I'm not even going to try. Y'all giving him three first round picks is just absurd.
So how would it work? So I know it has the name by the first round pick. So let's say he still has mine, he still has Neil's, and he has his own. So let's say the draft order is randomized, right? The draft order?
No, it's not random. It's based on where you finish.
Record? Okay.
Yes, it's based on record.
So yeah, he could have like two bottom first round draft picks if me and Neil finish in the top.
Yeah. Or in,
yeah.
There's a good chance he could have three top five.
Yeah.
I mean, that realistically, because really he's keeping three players. I mean, you got to think it's going to be Justin Jefferson. I don't even know if he'll keep a running.
Three. I wouldn't keep. I would only keep Justin Jefferson and move, like, just
dump everybody else. Yeah.
Because he doesn't have a good running back.
So, like, I have Evan's first round draft pick next year. So, if Evan just, let's say he just stays at number nine the rest of the year. So, I would have the second pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Look at that.
I got to get your first round pick somehow.
Not mine.
Who do you want? Who do you want, man? Look at my team.
I don't want nothing.
You want Debo back? I can give you Debo back.
Here's a funny.
You can give me. I'll give you Ramondre for a second round.
Anyway, here's a funny thing. Is like so. you know, typical Charlie with his crappy trades, he sent me, give me Joe Burrow and his fifth for my first and Herbert. And of course, I turned that down, like, pooch on that. And he goes, and I like counter, and I just flipped the draft picks.
Yeah.
I was like, you give me your first, and I'll give you my fifth, and I'll take Joe Burrow, and you have Big Herb. He goes, I thought I was doing you the favor. And I was like, no.
No.
Not at all.
Not by taking
first. I thought I was doing you a favor by taking your first.
Yeah, right? That's literally what he told me. I thought I was doing you the favor. And then I was like, well, I always just talk to people to get them to admit what they're wanting. I was like, are you wanting to move Burrow or are you just wanting a first-round pick? And he's like, well, I was hoping for a first-round pick. And I was like, well, I'm not interested in giving up my first-round pick, but if you want to make a trade on some players or something else, I'm open to it. And then, like, but then I got to thinking, like, if I could get, like, say Burrow gets back hot again, I'll give up my first, second. And that's still two first round picks are better than having your second. And, in the grand scheme of things. And he was thinking about it. And then he just didn't take it. He turned it down.
Well, dude, what I'm thinking is if you want to give me potentially two keepers to where, like, I get a wide receiver that everybody wants and a running back or quarterback that everybody wants, I will give you my first. But I need two keepers for it. Meaning that I don't even need my first-round pick last year because I already have two of them.
See, that was my thinking earlier this year when I was like, all right, I have Lamar. He's my keeper. Like, if I give my first-round draft pick to get Ty Hill is a keeper. I'm pretty much getting a first-round in return by giving up my first-round.
Yeah, I mean, you can make that argument. And now that you have him on a trade, he's like a 10th rounder for you now.
Yeah, but y'all gotta understand. But here's where y'all picture is that y'all are thinking on a static playing field that has everybody in a typical redraft except for yourself. Yeah. Whereas if the majority of us are keeping players that are costing a later round, I think only two of us this year kept pick that what cost them a first round pick. So those first round picks actually just move on down the draft, and the first few rounds of the draft are actually middle of the draft. It's just that you get to solidify, you get to have the choice to kind of cherry pick your first round. So that's what you're doing. Yeah. You're still you to get rid of a first round pick, but if you're like can convince people to see beyond that and move around some of these later round picks, it can give you an edge in a trade scenario. But nobody is playing this game smart. They're all playing it dumb and going after these first round picks that nobody honestly wanted to give up except for coach's decision on Tyreek Hill. I get that. But all the other first-round picks were not willingly given up. They were stolen.
Yeah.
Nobody else in the league was ever willing to give up a first-round pick, and rightfully so, because it hurts you unless, like, you're going for – you're, like, legit going for broke this year.
This is my year to win, I'm going for.
Yeah, this is my year to win. I'm willing to do this. Just that,
which is the philosophy of all these NFL teams as well,
right?
Dude, I can see the strategy later in the year, but like week one and two, nobody knows what they have.
Early, yeah.
After week two, I was like, dude, I'm gonna win this league. Like, it's not even gonna be I was like, I can just put this team on cruise control and win this league. I'm like 3-5 now, I think. Like, it just, right. It changes so fast. You don't know what you have in the first 2 weeks.
Injuries, just teams are hot, teams are cold. Like, it's just and like
your perennial bust. Like, here's another thing about
Jonathan Taylor, picks. Man. Get off my bus. I want to drop him.
Here's the thing about first-round picks. The amount of them that bust compared to succeed is like 80%. There's literally like two guys you pick in the first round that return first-round value that year.
That's crazy.
Everybody picked Jonathan Taylor to be one of the guys that was going to bust. Everybody's like, you know, easy mode. And it's funny, like at the first of the year, I was just like, if you took Christian McCaffrey over Jonathan Taylor, I would not blame you.
Yeah.
Dude, is Christian McCaffrey the number one running back right now?
It's like Chubb or Henry.
Like, if I could go back in time to week one, I would straight up trade Saquon for Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
If I could get the deal done. But,
man, I kind of wish I'd have got McCaffrey after about week 3 or 4 when he was just kind of hovering a little bit.
Yeah.
Man, San Francisco is using him like he needs to be used.
Yeah. Alex has a no trade clause,
yeah.
Which is funny. Like, in this league, making trades is really what season, whereas me and Coach's other league, trades just really don't happen. Me and him are the only ones that trade with each other.
Yeah, we're the only one who do trades.
Everybody else, you could be giving them the D to the farm, and they'll still turn it down.
Dude, trading is what makes fantasy football.
Yeah.
Like, if like you're just like, okay, all you get is a waiver wire, and all you can do all year. Yeah. Like, dude, what's the fun in that? Like, it's not.
I love it.
That's not managing the team.
Yeah. So, in the other league, it's really a sucky best ball. You know, it's like it's all your draft is super important in that league because you're not going to make trades.
Everything.
And then working our get
waiver wire.
One of those lottery ticket guys is the only thing that's going to, you know, make your payday in that league because you ain't getting a trade done.
Dude, are waiver wire guys kind of a thing of the past, or do you think it's still prevalent in fantasy football?
Well, it's all.
I think it's still prevalent because you can find a gem. Yeah.
Who's been the, I guess, a waiver wire gem this year? I can't think of one.
If you picked up Jeff Wilson and you were hurting it right back, He's done you good. Let's see. There hasn't been a true, oh, I got this guy off waivers and I could ride him the whole year. This year has been a lot of, just because of how the offenses have been this year, it's been like, I streamed this guy this week and it worked. That's
yeah, really like, I mean, you have like a one-hit wonder type deal. The last waiver wire just kind of gem that I remember was Alvin Kamara. I remember him, like, I think it was his rookie year.
Yeah.
It was like week 6 or something. He had a big week and then just.
Or they had a week 4 bye, then week 5
exploded
off
the rest of the year.
Because I picked him up week 1 of that year, and then we have limited bench, and I thought nobody would pick him back up because he hadn't done nothing over the bye week. Ian picked him up off of me before I could pick him back up, and I was just like, son of a bitch. Dude, watch this guy go off.
In our other league, Drew picked up Ramondre Stevenson off of waivers. I think for like next to nothing, just picked him up. Like, he was just sitting there. I was like, how's this guy, like, it was right around the time when Harris went down, so I could see, but now Stevenson he's like he's Stevenson's like the guy in New England.
Yeah. And then the guy Damian Pierce, if you got him off waivers, he's one guy that's a true you got him off if you the guy that drafted him or he just went undrafted. Like if the guy that drafted him dropped him and you picked him up, you've been very happy since the breakout game in like week four this year.
I think I drafted still hate
New England running backs.
Yeah. Yeah, they're never consistent, I guess. Dude, I hate Jamal Williams. Every time with that guy. Just he's worse than what was it, Connor last year?
Yeah, he's ultimate tutty monster.
Yeah, he's a tutty Jamal monster.
Williams is the tutty monster. He's taking all the tutties. Here's a guy that all right, the fantasy guru community, I don't know why they really love this guy, but T. Higgins. And he put on full display why I don't like T. Higgins. He can't get the job done. You put him on like the number one spot and he's fighting the hard coverage or he's getting doubled or even triple teamed, is absolutely worthless.
That's why I like T. Boyd.
Yeah, and the whole fans community, when Jamar Chase went down, even before Jamar Chase went down, like, waiting on T. Higgins breakout week. And then, like, Jamar Chase went down. It was like, everybody go get T. Higgins. He's going to go off.
Nothing.
Don't waste your time with that guy. If he ain't throwing his shoulder out, he's running shit out.
So bets, we on any bets today?
Let's get into some bets.
What we got? What's Thursday night game, guys?
Oh, let's look at it.
Let me get it queued up.
You gonna bring up bets? You ain't gonna have it queued.
Eagles and Texans.
How you doing over there with your winning? You're on a heater, dude.
I don't want to talk about it, man. I don't want to jinx it.
Too late. All right, I'm on a heater. Dude's not talking about it, but I'm telling, he's up like a cool 500 on some of these bets. He's been hitting them solid.
Man, just
not me, man.
Calling the shots before it happens.
Yeah, I need to just start writing down your bets. My bets not going too good.
How classic was it for me yelling at coach saying stop doing parlays? And my biggest win of the weekend was a two-shotter.
Yeah, right?
My parlay hit.
Dude, I swear on anything to you guys. I never do parlays anymore. Like, it is super rare that I do them. And I was watching the Falcons versus the Panthers. And like it was right at the end of the game. Of course, like the long pass to DJ Moore. I was like, dude, Hail Marys happen. They happen. And, dude, like, I was like, I start looking at the 3 o'clock games, and I'm like, San Francisco, who are they playing? The Rams? And I was like, this is obviously going to be a defensive game. They're going to score a lot of points. So, went San Francisco in the over, and it hit.
Nice.
Signs, man. Omens. It was omens.
Dude, the easiest parlay I've done this year was 2 weeks ago when the Giants and the Jets, and got lucky because the Giants did what they've been doing all year and pulling out these last minute wins. But like the Jets were playing, I think, Denver. It was both teams were on a way. It was Jets versus Denver. And I was like, why are they not favored even though they're on the road against this crappy Russell Wilson team? And then the Giants
were playing the Jaguars.
Yeah, Giants were playing Jaguars, and they weren't favored for that one. I was just like, the Vegas is blatantly wrong on this one.
Vegas is drunk.
Yeah, Vegas is drunk on easy money. And then also, the other easy bets are just anytime the 49ers play the Rams.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm talking them up right now. I don't know if there's a better feeling than hit parlay. It's just, Dude, something so sweet about that, man.
I know you say don't play parlays, but you got to play some parlays. Just don't go nuts. Like, just don't, like, hey, I got, you know, I built up my little cash wad hitting these little bets, and now I go lay down too much on a parlay. Or a crazy parlay. When I do a crazy parlay, I just put a dollar or two because the payout's well enough. Like, if this insane bet actually hits, I got $2,000 off of $2.
Man, my life goals end up on ESPN where they have, like, those little, like, live trackers. And they're like, some bettor has $6 for this 15-game parlay for $80,000.
They could cash out now and get $400,000, but he's letting it ride.
Dude. I honest to God, I think I'd cash out every time.
I sure still would.
I don't know if I could win that last game.
Although, I would definitely like to be one day in my life just put a ridiculous amount of money on a bet.
You would be
if I could. Yeah, just to do it. I'd have to be super confident about it, but like that parlay I just talked about with the Giants and the Jets.
God, I can see Miles in the kitchen. Rebecca, trust me.
Trust me.
This is it.
Dude, that's what the feeling was like.
You remember those shoes you wanted? You don't have to worry about it again.
Top of the world, baby. Top of the world. It was so my four-legged parlay, like it was, I had Tennessee to beat Houston. That one was pretty much over by the third quarter, so I was comfortable with that one. New York and Seattle was the game that was kind of going a little late. Then I had Seattle -3. Seattle started pulling away, so I was like, all right, let me flip the channel, go back to the Rams and 49ers. And then the 49ers started pulling away. I was like, yes. So then it was down to Washington and those Colts. Colts like drove down and got a touchdown late. I was like, shit, Washington's gonna they're gonna lose me this parlay. And Heineke threw that dart to Scary Terry on the 3-yard line. I was like, holy shit, my parlay's gonna hit. Because all they gotta do, they can run it in for a touchdown right here. Sure enough, +3, Washington wins. I was like, well, let me go back to those other games and make sure. It was just nerve wracking, but once you know all of them hit, you're right, man. There's no sweeter feeling.
Babe, wake up the baby.
Wake up that kid. I turned $6 into $78.
I made some money on the.
We're Red going out.
We're going out. Wake up! We're going out. We're going to Chili. Yeah. What is that?
Going to crazy. Outback, man. Blooming onion on me.
My typical, if I do like a crazy like five leg blooming onion on me, five leg parlay is. I'll hit like four of them, and then like somebody will, the fifth guy just won't pull his weight on that. I remember before we were fully convinced that Tom Brady and crew were complete garbage this year, I was like, they got to bounce back and make this game.
They lost to like Pittsburgh or something.
Yeah, I think it was somebody like that. It was like one of those easy wins. I think it was Pittsburgh. And I had a five-leg parlay, and all the others hit. And it was all underdogs except for Tom Brady and crew. But if I had just gone all underdogs and put Pittsburgh, would have had like five underdogs hit and have a massive parlay.
Damn.
Dude, have y'all seen those things where those dudes will do like a 12 game dog like bet and the thing actually hits, man? Like,
yeah, it can happen. You gotta lose a lot of them before it does.
Yeah,
or do you?
Or do you?
But before that parlay, I've been going the route of PJ and just doing one single bets here, single bets there. And that got me not out of the red, but that's gotten me back into like
every gambling guru that you talk to will say never do the parlay. If you believe in the spread and the over, just bet more money on both. Like never do the parlay. And like, it's just the common it's the common thread around all like, it's just statistically.
Yeah, like if you're like true, like wanting to make a serious run and build up a bankroll, the way the dude's talking with a lot of single bets is the way. Granted, you do have to if you at some point, just like in football, you can dink and dunk, but you got to hit the 20 yarders every now and then too.
Dude, you got to hit that big one to get you started, and then that you can snowball from there.
Yeah, I just hate taking bets that are like pennies on the dollar. You know, like, yeah, it's a surefire thing. It's going to happen, but, you know, I'm betting a dollar to win 12 cents. I'm like, might as well just go jerk off in the bathroom.
I love those whenever it pops up and they're like, some dude put like $75,000 to win like $6,000 or something Clemson to beat someone. I'm like, dude, this was some guy that was saving up for something. Like, and it's just like, Just one time it bit him. There's actually one dude. I don't remember all the teams involved. It was college football. And I did something like that where it was like a 6-game parlay. And I had some team that was like a plus like 400. Like it was like a Clemson type game. And it was a negative 400. Like it was just one just to pepper in there, like a sure win. Mm-hmm. And it was that one game. They like took me out of winning like $300 or $400. Like I was like, why did I do this? Like, why did I even?
But
it was probably the difference of like $12. Like at the end of the day,
I like seeing the when they tell you these bets, like these biggest losers kind of stuff, and you got like those guys that like dumped way too much money on like a surefire. Alabama's going to cover the spread kind of thing, and it backfires. And I was like, you just dropped, you know, $100,000+ to try to win like $25,000 and lose it.
What were you going to do with that $25,000?
Yeah. Just add it to the bankroll. Something.
I could see it like a group in Vegas. Or you don't think I'll bet $100,000 on this? I'll bet $100,000. I don't give a shit. They're gonna win.
Yeah, the guys.
And then, like 2 hours later, oh my god!
The guys that want to like show up in front of people and like, yeah, I put a lot of cash down, but I don't want to lose it, so I'm gonna put it on this really safe bet, and it backfires.
Yeah,
end up like Clark Griswold at the end of a Vegas Vacation,
right?
And
I think a lot like, of
pick,
people
pick a hand.
Yeah. I think a lot of them guys that do that, like put those ridiculous bets on those low payouts, is so that they can watch the game. Like they're so like they're the ones that really need to call that number. You know?
You know that number like, during the halftime show?
Yeah. Before you try to take not Howie Long win what's his name's money? The old Steelers quarterback. Win Terry's money.
Win Terry's money.
Yeah, but if you have a problem, call this. Yeah, they need to call that number.
The one that comes on right after the diabetes commercial.
Oh, Lord. Diabetes.
I'm diabetes.
Diabetes.
I want to get off this horse, get on a smaller horse. Then get from that horse, I'll get on the ground.
Like a large dog until I'm close enough to the ground and I can just roll off.
Hey, speaking of rolling, let's get rolling.
Let's get rolling.
What's the game
We got Philly at. I got my pick'ems pulled up. We got Philly at Houston. I'm not picking the game because 14 points is a lot. I actually backed out. I just took.
Yeah.
I took a bet. I placed it this morning. I was like, I put $20 on Philly to get over 3.5 touchdowns.
All right, dude, let me hit y'all with a nugget real quick. Every time there's a double digit favorite in the NFL, always take the under. It hits at a 72% rate. Wait. I'll give you all that one for free.
Anytime there's a double digit favorite, take the overall under.
The overall under. It hit 72% of them.
Nice.
Why do you think that is?
Generally because it's such a blowout that the team that's winning kind of takes their foot off the gas. So if they're up like 21,
and they start running.
They just start running, the clock out.
Chew up
clock. So the over at this one is 45. There's a really good chance the under is going to hit.
Is that what you're taking?
I'll take the under in that game.
Yes, sir. Also, 72%. I like those odds.
I like to be contrarian to like the big shootouts because they usually underwhelm and don't hit. Like when you get
like Buffalo, like, Kansas City.
Like Chargers, Chiefs. The over under was like 54. I think that one hit though, but you know,
not that case.
But a lot of them they get like super hyped. Like last year, I think Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes faced each other, and like the over under was like 52, and it was just a snooze
10-7 at halftime.
Yeah, it was a snooze fest and didn't even crack the 40s.
Great. If they score 8 touchdowns in the second half, we got this one.
Right. So a lot of times I like to do that.
It's 52% of the time the under hits, not 70.
Oh, 52?
Not 70?
It's 52.
Did you say?
Shit, I put $100 on the under.
I already took it. Hey, man, way to point go flip. There. It could hit.
Yeah, right. On the Thursday night game, I wouldn't really want to take that either. I like your thinking, Coach, on just taking the team over on the team total for Philly, because I feel like they're definitely going to blow the water out on that.
Is that your lock? Is that your lock? Because it's mine if nobody else wants it.
Philly winning?
Yeah.
Or beating the spread.
Just Philly, beating the spread, yeah.
The overall on Philly's team total is a definite lock.
Yeah.
Hey, what's the Sunday night game?
Sunday night, Titans, Chiefs minus 12.5. Over under.
Now this 46. One I would like.
This is this is a close. This is a kind of a toss up. I went Chiefs purely because it's at Arrowhead.
Is but Malik other than that, Willis playing?
Malik's
that I don't.
Yeah.
See, that's what people don't know yet. I'd wait on betting on it. Because if Malik ends up playing, sure as hell I'm taking the points on the Chiefs.
Yeah,
I don't see Derrick Henry hitting 200 yards in this one
against the Chiefs. Yeah,
yeah.
Not with Chris Jones in the middle of that defense.
Yeah, you got Chris Jones in there, healthy and rocking. Willie Gay's back, so yeah. I think that defense is gonna put a stopping on Tennessee.
All right, Donnie, we need your pick. This is only yours. You're doing this. Ravens Saints Monday Night Football. Ravens minus 2.5 in the Superdome. What do you got?
You know, the Ravens are underrated defense, but I believe the Red Rifle.
You believe? We believe.
I believe the Red Rifle BB gun has got the go ahead to start the rest of the year.
Isn't that Coach Prime? Are you quoting Coach Prime? I believe.
Yeah.
Believe.
So I'm gonna take the Ravens on this, and it's probably gonna bite me in the butt.
Sad day in Nola, man.
Y'all wanted me to take the Saints, and the way Kamara showed up. But, dude, the Ravens got Roquan Smith now.
That defense got some help.
Yeah, they got some serious help. I think they got another. So.
Is that your lock?
No, Not even a lock. I already told you he's gonna bite me in the ass. All
right, man. Yeah. Hit me with some locks. Who's the locks of the week?
Well, I already told you my lock. What's another one? What's it like? Vikings over the Commanders. That's pretty much a lock, right?
Yeah, that's an easy lock. Who was the Panthers playing again?
We're playing Cincinnati. That's my upset. I'm going to say that's my upset.
Well, who's favorite, Cincy?
Cincy by 7.5.
Yeah.
And then who's I think that's too many points.
Raiders are playing
Jaguars.
Jaguars. Yeah.
Raiders 1.5.
Yeah, that's my lock. I think the Raiders are going to come back strong on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Coach. Here's my 3-game parlay. I'm going under Eagles Texans. I'm going under Jets Bills. And I'm going under Chiefs Titans. I'm going to do it. I'm going to try it this week. I'm going to try the double digit favorites to take the under.
Look at that. Look at you.
But I'm going to do all three of them and see what happens.
How much are the Bills favored on the Jets? Is it double digits?
12.5.
12.5.
You're gonna test that theory out.
I mean, dude, if you told a bettor you have a 50-50 chance to win this one, you take those odds. You take them.
Yeah, because they're a betting man. Turn into a bettor.
It's math.
It's math.
Not every bet's 50-50 is what I'm saying. All right, lock of the week. I'm going to go Lions +3.5 at home versus the Packers.
Lions over the Pack.
Yeah, the Packers are just I dropped Romeo Doubs in both my leagues, and I saw where some other people picked him up, and I'm just like, that was a mistake on your end.
Are you ready? Upset pick?
Yeah.
What's your upset?
I'm going the Commanders over the Vikings.
What?
Heard it here first. Heard it here first.
Oh, my goodness.
What the? Dude.
He's smoking something, Donnie. He's smoking something.
Is Johan Dotson back?
They don't need
him. That's the only way I'd do that. They don't need him.
The Cardinals are favored over the Seahawks, too. -2. That's not my lock, but that'd be an easy.
That's my upset.
Yeah, that's an easy upset right there.
Is that your upset?
Yeah, that's my upset.
Okay.
Easy.
Seahawks.
Yeah, let's ride.
Let's ride, Hawks.
Hawks country, let's ride.
Hawks country, let's ride.
You could do an underdog parlay. My underdog parlay would be Panthers, Seahawks, and Rams. Rams over the Bucks.
Now, when you say underdog parlay, are you meaning you're taking them money line? Or are you taking all the
underdogs? I mean, you could go money line and like increase your how much you get back. But no, I would take the points
with the Panthers.
Yeah.
So you're not picking them to win, right?
No, I would. Yeah, I would choose them to cover. I guess is what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was wondering.
Well, some of these spreads are like 1 or 2 points. The only way I would take the points on the Panthers, and if I was going to do your underdog, I'd take the points on the Panthers, and then I'd take money line on like that Rams game
and the Hawks. Cause
those are like a spread of like 1 or 2, right?
Yeah, so you might as well take the money line.
Yeah, go ahead and beef it up to the money line, but do the take the spread on the Panthers because they losing.
All right, let me write down what was that one that you were gonna do, PJ? The under on the Texans, Philly game.
The parlay or my upset?
Yeah, your parlay that you said.
The parlay is the under on the Eagles Texans at 45.5. The under in the Jets Bills at 47. And the under in the Titans Chiefs at 46.
So all the double digit ones.
All the double digit ones.
And then his upset is Commanders.
Oh my goodness. I'm not touching
Go Commies.
Go Commies. I'm not even gonna write that down.
I'm not touching that.
Write it down, Coach. He said it.
I don't have to write it down.
Recorded.
It's recorded.
Yeah. We recorded it. It's out in the etherwebs.
And you said it.
You were
eating off it.
It's a meteorite, man.
I'm Joe Meteorite.
Oh, man. And you know how, like, nobody's really on the Vikings bandwagon, even though they're, like, 6-0? Is because I don't know if y'all have watched any of their games, but it's just like they will three and out all and then go score, you know? Like yeah. They their three and out more yeah.
Has no grit, dude. Like they will get up and just start running the ball. You have like your Chargers coach that's too analytical, that goes for it too much, takes too many chances. And then you have the Vikings coach. That's too conservative.
Now they got Hockenson. Are they going to try to go down the middle of the field now with Hockenson?
I think that's going to explode that offense, dude. I think that's going to make their offense that much better. Because, like, now Kirk Cousins can do the things that Kirk Cousins is good at with, like, these yard after the catch. You remember when he had what's that concussion king, tight end?
Josh Reed or something like that. Reed.
I don't think it was Josh, but it was something Reed. And then, that dude was yard after the catch monster. Hockenson is cut from the same cloth on how he plays and stuff, and that's just gonna create. For that offense,
Jordan Reed.
Yeah. So that's just going to like really be the missing cog for that offense, in my opinion. Get that thing going.
Jordan Reed currently plays for the Montana State Bobcats. He's out. Yeah, he's out of the league.
You mean he coaches? Is that a junior college? What is that?
I guess
it's street hockey. Oh, okay, cool.
Well, no, that's okay. Jordan, I don't know why they have football tight end. 32 years old. Like, is he out of the league? Let's see. I'm gonna look it up now. I'm down the rabbit hole.
Dude, speaking of age, 32. All right, we didn't really talk about the craziness of the trades in the NFL this year and how it's been so much like fantasy football. But the Bears traded for Chase Claypool. He's been in the league like 3 years now and he's 24 and the Bears rookie wide receiver that they drafted this year is 25. There's a rookie on the Bears.
Older than the guy that just got.
Yeah, older than anybody else on the team.
rookie.
That's like, what was that quarterback for Florida State that stayed there way too long?
Chris Winkie.
Chris Winkie. He's like 30 years old.
Yeah, he's the Chris
Winkie. He's a Heisman candidate. I'm like, he's a grown-ass man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, imagine that feeling of being that old and then you're on like a Heisman Trophy candidate show and everybody else is like 19.
And you're over here like going bald. You're scheduled for prostate removal.
I did it, honey.
It's like the I did it, honey. That's the equivalent of like high schooler going and playing like peewee football.
Yeah.
No wonder you're better than everybody else. You're a grown man.
I'm back in the league. Back in the league, baby.
Back in the league, baby. All right. And with that, I think we're back. Rounders is back.
It's like riding a bike. Let's do the intro right here.
Right now. Let's just keep it going.
Yeah, welcome back.